Kanal K.
Achtung Sendung! Schülerinnen und Schüler schlüpfen in die Rolle von Medienmacher und produzieren Radio. Ein Projekt von Kanal K in Zusammenarbeit mit der Radioschule Klipp und Klau. Unterstützt von Kultur macht Schule.
Hello everyone, we're from the Kantonsschule Baden and we're doing a 30-minute broadcast on the topic Trump and TikTok. Why did he want to ban TikTok? What was the scandal all about and how did it end? You'll get to know about all this in the next 30 minutes. Because we're doing this as a part of an English project, most of this broadcast will be in English.
Hallo zusammen, wir sind von der Kantonsschule Baden und halten für euch einen Sendebeitrag von 30 Minuten über das Thema TikTok und Trump. Weil wir dies im Rahmen eines Englischprojekts tun, wird der größte Teil dieses Beitrages auf Englisch sein. Tell me why am I emotional when I knew it from the start? At first, you're going to listen to the song Peaches from Justin Bieber. After that, you are going to hear a moderation that focuses on different relevant questions. You will listen to the song Promises from Ariana Grande and Nelly Furtado after the moderation has finished. We also have interviewed some experts for you and some teenagers about TikTok. Between those interviews, you will have a short break with the song Wallerman. After the interview, we will continue with a contribution. In the end, you will listen to the song Copin. Now you can enjoy the song Peaches from Justin Bieber. I got my peaches out in Georgia. Ooh, yeah, shit. I get my weed from California. That's that shit. I took my pick up to the north, yeah. That ass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
This was Peaches from Justin Bieber, and now you are gonna listen to the moderation.
So, let's start with what is TikTok?
TikTok is a Chinese video platform. Users can record and upload short self-made videos. These videos can be accompanied by music or film scenes. Anyone over the age of 13 is allowed to use this app. But do you know what is terrifying? According to a 2020 survey of Swiss internet users, the 12 to 14 age group has the most TikTok users. 9 to 11 years old are at the second place, although the app is allowed for ages 13 and up. From the age of 20, the percentage of installed app goes rapidly down.
Oh, that's really worrying. At the beginning of the radio show, it was said that it is about Trump and TikTok, but I don't understand what's exactly the connection between Trump and TikTok. What happened?
Donald Trump announced on his government plane Air Force One that he wants to ban the app TikTok. The journalists traveling with him learned this and reported it. Meanwhile, he wants to sell the app TikTok to Microsoft. It's speculated that the app from China is dangerous.
So now we made a survey and interviewed some students at our school about the scandal with TikTok and Trump. And here you hear some questions and answers.
Hast du vom Skandal mit Trump und TikTok etwas gehört?
Ja, ich habe gehört, dass er TikTok sperren lassen will.
Also einfach, dass er so hat, wenn er weiterverkaufen, sonst wird es blockt. Das wird ja dann schon.
Ja, habe ich schon gehört, ja.
These were some answers from students from our school. However, did you know that there were also a lot of conflicts between Trump and the Chinese government even before the scandal with TikTok?
Well, I must say I'm not surprised. Compared to all the things that Trump did during his presidency, this isn't even a big surprise, don't you think?
Oh yes, you're completely right. Tell me more about it.
Well, in fact, the most known conflict took place in 2016, even before Trump took office in the White House. Can you imagine that? He said clearly that he wanted to change the previous policy line adopted by Obama towards China. His intentions were to establish a more favorable trade deal for the United States. Now, just imagine how the Chinese government must have taken it.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy! He seriously started to make new decisions even before he officially became the president of the United States.
That's right! He clearly wanted to force a one-China policy on his own advantages, without even thinking of the possible consequences.
Trump's best-known goal was putting America's interests, especially commercial interests, ahead of everything else at any cost, without even considering normal diplomatic rules and without caring about ruining previously established alliances. So you can expect such a behavior such as this TikTok ban from a person who thinks this way.
You are completely right. But expected or not, this is not the only thing he did against the China policy. Between 2016 and 2017, the US created the THAAD system.
The THAAD system? What's that?
Well, it stands for Terminal High Altitude Area Defense in South Korea, and it's a missile defense system of the United States Army against missiles. The United States said it was a defensive measure for controlling North Korean nuclear missile. According to China, however, the targets of the system were directed at Chinese missiles and not at North Korean missiles. Can you believe this?
This is unbelievable! However, we are not sure if the THAAD was really meant for control the Chinese missiles. This is a strong accusation from China.
Yes, this is indeed seen as the first big moment of rupture between the two countries. Another big conflict between the two countries was last July, when Trump government ordered China to close his consulate in Houston, Texas, after the diplomatic staff was accused of engaging in espionage and illegal intelligence gathering.
Well, this is a serious accusation too.
Yes, it is. China responded at this accusation by closing the US consulate in the Chinese city of Chengdu. Just imagine the level of tension between the two governments.
Wow, this is so impressive how many borderline episodes happened between the two most powerful countries in the world.
Yes, I know. It has been another incident on the 20th of July. On that day, Trump made his first campaign appearance since the corona pandemic in Tulsa. This event promised huge crowds and his rally. Trump's chairman of his re-election campaign posted a few days earlier that the campaign had received more than a million ticket requests. However, the reporters who were present at the day of Trump's speech noted that the attendance was significantly lower than expected. Less than a third of the seats were filled.
That's weird. Why was that?
Good questions. According to media reports, the TikTok users were partly to blame. There has been a call on the social platform for people to buy tickets for Trump's speech, but then not to go. So he had to hold his speech in front of empty benches, and the real Trump supporters could no longer buy tickets.
But that is pure evil. I can imagine Trump's face when he realized he had to hold his speech in front of almost empty benches. He will probably have been very angry at the people on TikTok who organized all this.
Well, of course, and honestly, I can't blame him.
Yes, me too. But I also heard about another fact. I think it had something to do with the coronavirus or something. Do you know anything about it?
Oh, of course. I almost forgot about this one. The last conflict happened during the pandemic. Trump used to call the coronavirus as the Chinese virus, which suggests blaming the entire Chinese people for the spread of the virus.
Well, this isn't very polite from him, I must say.
Yes, exactly. He has explicitly said several times that he holds China responsible for the initiation and spread of the pandemic, and did also accuse them of not being truthful in reporting the actual data of the infections.
But this is a strong accusation for the president of the US to make. Thank you for explaining me all these different conflicts. Now I know much more about this whole topic.
You're more than welcome. I always love to inform people about important political facts. Tell me why I get this feeling that you really wanna turn me on. Tell me why I get this feeling that you really wanna make me yours. Why? 'Cause I see you try, subliminally try to see if I'm gonna be the one to sing along. I admit it's exciting, parts of me gonna like it.
We interviewed two data security experts. The interview is half in English and half in German. Is our data on social media safe? And do they really sell our data to other countries? Let's hear what they think about it.
Sind unsere Daten bei Social Media sicher?
Also generell sind die Daten nie sicher. Egal ob Social Media oder generell Unternehmensdaten, private Daten. Es gibt keine absolute, hundertprozentige Sicherheit, dass unsere Daten sicher sind. Bezug auf Social Media. Es ist so, dass man Social Media gewisse Sachen kann im Profil eigentlich bekannt geben, aber gewisse Sachen tut man eigentlich verstecken. Aber die Daten, die man eigentlich will verstecken, ist es sicher beim Provider, egal jetzt welcher Social Media Provider. Dazu gilt eigentlich immer die Datenschutzrichtlinien. Im europäischen Raum haben wir ja eigentlich die Datenschutzgrund eigentlich eine Verordnung, wo eigentlich regelt, welche Daten schützenswert sind. Aber die Datensicherheit wird zwar gewährleistet, aber hundertprozentige Sicherheit gibt es nicht.
Mhm. Now, the next question. Is data that social media has from us used somewhere else without our knowledge?
Yes, as I said before, so you basically use the social media every day. You share with everybody, including the social media owner, everything, what you like, what you wish, what you want to do, what you want to go, what you want to buy, and so on and so forth. And the social media uses, at least basically, you do it for free. You don't give money to the social media owner for having your social life, right? But even Google itself, it's when you look for something in Google search, you are not asked to pay anything. But on the other side, there is Google that has invested a lot of money for building up the infrastructure needed for the Google search. So how do they pay back this? Well, with your search, basically they collect everything about you and then they monetize it with a different activity, creating the need of the future for marketing or addressing you with specific product and services that they know you like. And then this is basically the money that they get back from the provider giving you the good or the service. That's all.
Thank you. This was the first part of the interview. After a short break with the song Wallerman, we will continue with the second part of the interview.
There once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was a Bully of Tea. The winds blew up her bow, up down, oh below my bully boys blow. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. She'd not been 2 weeks from shore when down on her a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take that whale in tow. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Da 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 da. Before the boat had hit the water, the whale sail came up and caught her. Hands to the side, harping and fought her when she dived down low. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. No line was cut, no whale was freed. The captain's mind was not of greed, and he belonged to the whaleman's creed. She took that ship in tow. Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Da 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 for 40 days or even more. The lane went slack, then tight once more. All boats were lost, there were only four, but still that will did go. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. As far as affair, the fight's still on. The line's not cut and the whale's not gone. The willowman makes his regular call to encourage the captain, crew, and all. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
Whoa, great song. Now we will continue with the second part of the interview with the experts.
Und werden die Daten möglicherweise verkauft an andere Länder oder Firmen?
Die Daten werden verkauft aus, für die Marketingzweck und auch, weil Daten sind eigentlich heute eigentlich ein sehr wertvolles Gut für Unternehmen. Aber die Unternehmen verkaufen die Daten eigentlich weiter, zwar anonymisiert, wie ich vorher gesagt habe, aber sie dürfen nicht illegal Daten weitergeben. Es sei denn, es ist uns eigentlich bekannt, dass die Daten, vielleicht zurück zum Datensicherheit, es gibt zwei Sachen. Einerseits gibt jeder Unternehmen ein Backdoor-Zugang zu den Daten, wo eigentlich viele Staatsgeheimdienste eigentlich Zugang haben. Wir kennen eigentlich den NSA-Skandal vor 10 Jahren oder vor ein paar Jahren, wo eigentlich eine sehr grosse Schlagzeile gegeben hat. Und dann gibt es eigentlich auch den Missbrauch von Daten. Das heisst, die Daten werden eigentlich, also Unternehmensdaten werden gehackt und die werden eigentlich somit illegal nachher weiterverkauft oder missbraucht.
So, this was the interview. It is very surprising how the social media is allowed to use our private information without even us knowing about it.
In the end, Trump did not ban TikTok. He first postponed the deal until the 27th of September 2020. But in the meantime, TikTok's parent company ByteDance could negotiate a deal with an American company to host the app's data in the US. A few days later, Oracle and Walmart were working on a partnership with ByteDance to create a spin-off company, TikTok Global. Oracle would hold a 12.5% stake in the new company and serve as the cloud hosting provider for the new entity. Walmart would hold a 7.5% take in the company, with ByteDance owning the remaining 80%. So TikTok will most likely not be taken out of app stores in the US, because the companies that would be affected, such as Apple and Google, would either compromise with the US government or challenge it in court. And TikTok is only a small piece of a much larger problem when it comes to consumer protection.
Lastly, we are gonna hear the song Coppin from Aya Nakamura.
fresh one.
Last 30 minutes, we have looked at the conflict between Trump and TikTok. We've interviewed some experts on the topic of data security. Something we found very striking was that we reveal much more private information on social media than we're actually aware of. The next time you're on social media, be aware that your data could maybe be misused. We will now definitely think twice before liking the next post. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
In der letzten halben Stunde haben wir euch über den Konflikt zwischen Trump und TikTok informiert, Interviews mit Experten geführt und euch diese abgespielt. Ein erstaunlicher Fakt war, dass uns oftmals gar nicht bewusst ist, wie viel Kontrolle die sozialen Medien durch unsere privaten Informationen über uns haben. Wir werden uns von nun an zweimal überlegen, was wir in den sozialen Medien über uns preisgeben und wünschen euch weiterhin noch einen schönen Tag.
Nächster Halt, Kanal K.
Those were the voices of Trump supporters storming the Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. on the 6th of January. We, Bayravi, Adnora, Isabel, Alessia and Amelie from County Baden will tell you what this mess was all about and give you an insight on the media in this situation here on Kanal K. This and more right after Monster from Justin Bieber and Shawn Mendes.
You put me on a pedestal and tell me I'm the best. Raise me up into the sky until I'm short of breath. Yeah. Fill me up with confidence, I say what's in my chest. Spill my words and tear me down until there's nothing left. Rearrange the pieces just to fill me with the rest. Yeah. But what if I trip? What if I fall? I was 15 when the world put me on a pedestal. I had big dreams of doing shows and making memories. Made some bad moves trying to act cool, upset by their jealousy. Lifting me up, lifting me up. And turn me down, turn me down. I take responsibility for everything I've done. Holding it against me like you're the holy one. I had a chip on my shoulder, had to let it go. Unforgiveness keeps them in control. I came in with good intentions, then I let it go. And now I really wanna know. What if I trip? Just let me know.
Hey Alessia, I heard you know a lot about the breaching of the Capitol Hill. What happened?
On the 6th of January 2021, hundreds of people stormed the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Trump supporters were against Joe Biden's victory in the presidential election and were protesting it.
I've heard that it wasn't a normal protest and that everything went wrong. Is that right?
Planned, of course, was a peaceful protest, but when there was a conflict with a police officer, many hundreds managed to get to the White House. Later, windows were broken and the protesters broke all security measures, although the White House is one of the best secured buildings.
Could no one stop them?
There were a few police officers, but they were powerless and managed to get rid of the attackers only after 3 hours with the help of other securities.
How did it come to this? How did all this start?
The majority is convinced that this was a planned attack, because on the same day Trump gave a speech near the Capitol and got his supporters to go to the White House. This is what he said.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
Shortly after noon, Trump supporters followed his instructions and moved to the Capitol.
What were the consequences of this protest?
In the hall, Secret Service agents drew their weapons and tried to push back the Trump supporters. The politicians hid in fear. With the help of the Capitol Police, the politicians were brought to safety.
How did they finally get all the people out of the building? Did it take a long time?
It took 3 hours before the Capitol was secured again. The security forces managed to push the Trump supporters out of Congress. 82 people were arrested. Unfortunately, 5 people died, including a police officer.
How did Trump react to this?
He didn't try to talk his way out of it or apologize. He took it as it was true, and you could see with his tweets how proud he was of his supporters. You can see this in his tweets when he wrote, "These are things and events that happen. We love you, you are very special." As a result, he was blocked on Twitter and Facebook for several hours.
And how did Biden react?
In a speech, he talks about chaos. He himself doesn't like what happened either, and that's not how he knows America. Now you will hear a part of Biden's speech after this shocking incident.
Let me be very clear. The scenes of chaos at the Capitol do not reflect a true America, do not represent who we are. What we're seeing are a small number of extremists dedicated to lawlessness. This is not dissent. It's disorder. It's chaos. It borders on sedition. And it must end now.
Thanks for this information, Alessia.
You're welcome.
That was a conversation between Bairavi and Alessia, who delved into the topic and summed up the events well with precise questions. It's a summary which is important to get a basic knowledge about the storm of the Capitol. But now, have fun with the song After the Storm from Carly Uchis.
Whatever goes around eventually comes back to you. So you gotta be careful, baby, and look both ways before you cross my mind.
Same on the phone, no. But everybody's gotta go on, don't they? better than ever, cause your umbrella, umbrella. Sun is beaming on me like headlights beaming on Bambi. Now let's pretend the street is the room and you are a Camry, cause you're drama candy, the Tito to my Randy. Now let's produce some thrillers, my chocolate with your vanilla,
The sun will come out.
Try. Speaking of trying, our group tried to survey as many people as we could, but most of the people declined the survey immediately or had no idea about what happened at the Capitol Hill. Nonetheless, there were people who gave us really good answers.
From where did you get the information from?
Durchs Internet eigentlich. Instagram
handeln. Genau.
News. Kann das durch die Plattform TikTok.
Ja, ich memes Reddit.
Tagesschau.
Ich habe es mit meiner Schwester in den Nachrichten gesehen.
So fancy.
What exactly have you heard?
Ich habe erfahren, dass irgendwelche Menschen das Kapitol gestürmt haben.
Genau,
Trump-Anhänger haben das Kapitol gestürmt.
Genau, im Vergleich zu der Black Lives Matter Community, also dass halt einfach das mit dem verglichen wurde ist und gesagt wurde, ist ja, die Leute haben, also die Regierung hat viel zu wenig unternommen bei der Stürmung vom Weißen Haus, genau. Und dass sie viel aggressiver auch mit der schwarzen Community umgegangen sind.
Ja, dass halt einfach so mega viele Leute von der eher rechten Partei dort angegangen sind und die Fenster kaputt gemacht haben und einfach reingegangen sind, dass die Polizei eigentlich einfach keinen Plan hatte, was sie sollen machen, dass eine erschossen wurde.
Sie haben einfach Menschen verletzt und haben demonstriert, dass Biden nicht den ersten Präsident sein soll, sondern Trump.
Ich habe nur mitbekommen, dass Republikaner ins Weiße Haus gestürmt sind und dort die Sachen verwüstet haben und auch Sachen geklaut haben und so.
So, as you could hear, people got their information from electronical devices. Now imagine, how many people wouldn't have heard from this riot in America if we lived in an earlier age where the news was spread by people we know and through newspapers. That survey showed that not just electronical devices such as TV, but also social media, have huge impact on our knowledge nowadays. In an interview that we were able to arrange with Mr. Haneke, an expert on media issues, we asked him precise questions about the media in the USA at the event of the storming of the Capitol. But first and foremost, the song Kiss Me More comes from Doja Cat.
And when we French refresh, give me two. When I bite that lip, come get me two.
He want lipstick, lip gloss, hickeys too. Huh, kiss me.
Guten Tag, Herr Hennecke.
Also in dem folgenden Interview möchten wir mehr über die Reaktion der journalistischen Medien in Erfahrung bringen nach dem Sturm auf das Kapitol. Doch zuallererst möchten wir Ihnen erstmal herzlich danken, dass Sie sich bereit erklärt haben, also auf eine freundliche Weise das Interview mit uns zu führen. Und Zeitungen wie New York Times und die USA Today sprachen von einer gewissen Amtsunfähigkeit des Präsidenten. Was halten Sie von diesen Vorwürfen und ist das die richtige Weise, wie die Medien berichten sollten?
Wenn man den ganzen Vorgang der Desinformation, der Aufpeitschung, der Anstachelung, des sich nicht Bewusstseins, was das anrichtet in der Politik, wenn man den Menschen Trump gekannt hat, wie er sich immer durchgesetzt hat als Demagoge, Egoist, wie er narzisstisch ist, wie er frauenverachtend, rassistisch argumentiert, wie er alles abstreitet, was ihm nicht in den Kram passt. Wenn man diese Geschichte kennt und dann beobachtet, was passiert, dann ist wie naheliegend zu fragen, ob dieser Mann in der Lage ist, die Eskalation, die er ausgelöst hat, wie gesagt, es war ein Mob, der die Politiker umbringen wollte. Er war an einem Ort, wo sie Werkzeuge und Waffen mitgebracht haben, um Menschen, die ein politisches Amt ausüben, umzubringen. Sie wollten den Vizepräsidenten ermorden. Sie wollten die Chefin der Demokraten ermorden. Sie wollten so großen Schaden wie möglich herstellen. Und er hat das nicht unterbunden. Er hat sich bedankt bei den Leuten und sagt, ihr seid dear patriots, thank you and go home. Er hat nichts dagegen getan. Was tun Sie als Journalistin, ohne dass Sie jetzt auf einer Seite sind, wenn Sie diesen Vorgang sehen? Sie kommen nicht umhin zu sagen, das ist ein absolut bizarr, irrwitziger Vorgang. Dieser Mensch löst etwas aus, er ist unfähig. Dann kommt noch dazu, dass die Medien das nicht nur selber gesagt haben, sondern dass praktisch sämtliche Beobachterinnen und Beobachter genau das festgestellt haben. Und das war ja auch dann der Boden für das zweite Amtsenthebungsverfahren, das genau damit begründet wurde, der Mann ist außer Kontrolle. Also finde ich die Berichterstattung diesbezüglich korrekt und die Analyse korrekt. Dann kommt dazu noch einmal die Differenz. Es gibt verschiedene Medienformen oder Mediendarstellungsformen. Wenn ich Fakten darstelle, ist das das eine. Und wenn ich eine Meinung oder eine Schlussfolgerung oder eine Lösung zu einem Problem formuliere und das auch entsprechend transparent mache, gehört das auch zu den Aufgaben der Medien.
Ja. Und diese Erwähnung der Amtsunfähigkeit gegenüber des Präsidenten, kann das nicht zu einer Verschlimmerung der Lage in Amerika führen?
Das ist eine sehr gute Frage. Diese Gefahr besteht tatsächlich, wenn man einmal eine Institution, und die amerikanische Präsidentschaft ist auch eine Institution, in Frage stellt, ist man schon, ich sage jetzt mal, in einem sehr schwierigen Bereich, in einem durchaus auch gefährlichen Bereich. Aber schauen Sie, was hat Trump gemacht? Er hat vorher das gesamte amerikanische politische System in Frage gestellt. Er hat die Regeln in Frage gestellt, die sich die Gesellschaft gegeben hat, um sich selbst zu organisieren, sich selbst politisch zu organisieren. Er hat in Frage gestellt, dass Gerichte korrekte Entscheidungen getroffen haben bei der Beurteilung seiner Vorwürfe. Also er hat alles in Frage gestellt. Und wenn er dann umgekehrt in Frage gestellt wird, ist das wie auch, ich sage jetzt mal, eine logische Schlussfolgerung. Aber Sie haben noch einmal, ich sage es noch einmal, Sie haben durchaus recht. Das sind schon sehr, sehr kritische Situationen.
Würden Sie von einer in Amerika eher unsicheren Verhalten der Medien, also man weiß nicht, was man glauben soll?
Das ist so tatsächlich. Der Hintergrund ist ein bisschen ein anderer als jetzt der mit dem ganzen Kapitol. Das ist ja wirklich nur so eine Art Peak. Also ich halte fest, Amerika ist eine Demokratie mit einem freien Mediensystem. Also die Pressefreiheit ist gewährleistet. Aber es gibt nicht so starke öffentlichen Medien wie bei uns. Also beispielsweise SRF, Schweizer Radio und Fernsehen oder ARD oder ZDF in Deutschland oder die BBC. Sowas gibt es in Amerika nicht unbedingt. Das heißt, die Medienleistungen, die positiven Medienleistungen, die kommen vor allem durch private Institutionen, private Redaktionen, private Medien. Wir haben da schon ein paar genannt. Das ist ein anderer Ausgangspunkt für die, ich sage jetzt mal, Verankerung von Medien. Und das führt auch dazu, dass durch die Kommerzialisierung sehr viel weniger Ressourcen für den Journalismus in Amerika zur Verfügung stehen. Der Rückgang an Investitionen in Journalismus in Amerika war in den letzten 20 Jahren dramatisch. Das heißt, es gibt immer weniger regionale oder lokale Medien, die sind nicht mehr da. Es gibt keinen Journalismus an gewissen Orten. Das heißt, die Leute werden gar nicht mehr korrekt informiert und wenden sich dann natürlich Quellen oder Sendern oder so weiter zu, wo sie auch gar nicht beurteilen können, ist das korrekt, ist das Journalismus oder was ist das? Und das ist der Hintergrund für den Verlust an Glaubwürdigkeit in die Medien, auf den sich auch Trump dann aufgesetzt hat.
Und wie denken Sie, wie sieht das in der Schweiz aus? Also ist das Mediensystem in der Schweiz sicherer?
In diesem Zusammenhang auf jeden Fall. Ja. Wir haben noch ein sehr intaktes System. Also in der Schweiz sind wir ja in vielerlei Hinsicht wie im Paradies. In der Schweizer Medienpraxis zu kritisieren, sind absolut. Journalismus in der Schweiz ist nicht perfekt. Aber im Vergleich mit dem, was sich jetzt so abspielt im Durchschnitt in anderen Staaten, ich meine, da gibt es natürlich dann noch viel schlimmere wie Russland, wie China, wie Türkei, wie Ungarn, wo Medienschaffende gehetzt und Medien aufgekauft und politisch drangsaliert werden, etc. etc. Das ist ja in Amerika auch nicht so der Fall. Aber die Schweizer Medien sind sicher nicht gefeit dagegen, dass sie beeinflussbar sind.
Okay, also wir wären dann eigentlich schon mit unseren Fragen durch. Wir freuen uns sehr, dass es so gut geklappt hat. Und nochmal ein großes Dankeschön für das Mitmachen.
Gern geschehen.
This interview was extremely interesting to conduct. We got to know a completely new and interesting point of view from an expert. After Nevermind by Dennis Liot, Abnoda will tell you more about the storm of the Capitol Hill and how social media played a big role.
I ain't gonna fall back, nah. All right, I'm taking it on me, baby. All right, I ever ask, are you gonna be my lover tonight? I'll take it with me. What if I left and it made no sense? And you tell your friends and they hold your hands, baby. Never mind. If I left, then it made no sense. And you tell your friends and they hold your hands, baby. Never mind. If I left, then it made no sense. And you tell your friends and they hold your hands, baby. Never mind. Never mind. If I left, then it made no sense. And you tell your friends and they hold your hands, baby. Never mind.
as we already mentioned plenty of times during our broadcast, and as you might have heard in the interview with Mr. Hennecke, the media played a big role in this chaos. Actually, during the whole protest, the journalists reporting on the situation got attacked by the Trump supporters. The Trump supporters even wrote "Kill the media" on the door of the Capitol Hill. It amazes me that the police didn't do almost anything. Witnesses are saying that the security and the police arrived at the scene 1 hour after the Trump supporters invaded the Capitol Hill, and this is just unbelievable. At this point, not only journalism media played a big role in the breaching of the Capitol Hill, social media platforms were almost exploding as everything was happening, especially Twitter. A lot of videos of journalists being attacked, of people showing the inside of the Capitol, and of people being beaten got posted and spread on there. It was a shock to all, because who would just walk in like that? I mean, we are talking about the White House, the president's home. Speaking of the president, well, now ex-president Donald Trump, he actually got banned on Twitter for 12 hours because he violated the guidelines of the platform. The reason for that were 3 tweets that later got deleted that were probably about the breaching of the Capitol Hill. Instagram and Facebook did the same. They worried that he'll post things on there that could cause even more damage. So they banned his account for 24 hours. You now may be thinking, well, how did he respond to that? So, as earlier said, he actually showed sympathy for his supporters who invaded his home. He again said that there had been an electoral fraud and friendly asked his supporters to go home. He even called them great patriots and encouraged them and their actions. "Remember this day forever," he said. This is probably not something a usual president would say, but we all know that Trump wasn't a usual president. The media can do a lot, as we see by this incident. It is very powerful, and sometimes things get overrated and get worse due to the people there. Because of that, you can't and also shouldn't believe everything the media says. Often we don't even know who's behind all these posts when we surf through social media. We just believe what we see, and that's not good at all. Especially all the hate on these platforms. For what? Most of the people that hate on there just want to let their anger out, and that's the only way for them to do it. We have to look more into things people say and post in the media, be it social media or the journalism media. That is the message that we want to deliver to you today. Don't underestimate the media, because it is very powerful, but also don't believe everything they post and write on there.
Thank you, Abnoda, for this informative contribution. We all thank you for listening to our radio show, which we have put a lot of effort into creating. We, Alessia, Abnoda, Isabel, Vairavi and Amelie, wish you a nice day. Now please listen to "Leave the Door Open" by Bruno Mars.
I'm sipping wine, sip. In a robe, trip. I look too good, to be alone. Ooh. My house clean, my pool warm, just shake,
smooth like a newborn.
We should be dancing, romancing in the east wing and the west.
I won't bite unless you like.
Unless you like.
If you smoke,
what you smoke?
I got the haze.
Purple haze.
And if you're hungry, girl, I got the lace.
Ooh,
ooh, baby.